This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to Style File, where we cover everything and anything on the business of fashion. I'm Maya Tan, and this week we have Kitty Yi Yi, style blogger, stylist, and fashion designer, as she talks about life, fashion, and polka dots.
Polka dot in Chinese, it means complete, like perfect. So that's why I want to use it.
After that, I speak to Lee Chui Lin, where we talk about Kate Moss's directorial debut in an exclusive shoot for Vogue's September issue.
It was a very model video in the sense that, you know, this is the video of somebody who's been surrounded by creative people.
To round off the show, Claudia Lowe of TongueChic.com looks at Copenhagen Fashion Week and rejoices at a trend for the masses, exotic minimalism.
Something that you can invest in because you know that a shirt isn't ever going to go out of style.
First up though, our style maker for this week, Kitty Yi Yi. Armed with a taste for kooky street style and top local designers, this blogging it girl takes her bubbly personality to fashion shows and parties, snapping her way throughout to offer readers an inside look at the local young fashion scene. Adeline Cheung caught up with fresh-faced Kitty Yi Yi recently, equipped with spunky designs and a quirky personality, and she tells us all about life, fashion, and polka dots.
So Kitty, tell us, how do you started as a fashion designer?
I know that I want to be a fashion designer since I'm very young.
How young were you?
I think already in 6 years old, I already started to hand make dresses for my Barbie doll. In that time, I also keep drawing princess and clothes. So I think that time, during that time, I already know that I want to be a fashion designer. After my high school, I know that I want to go for a fashion design course. And that's how I get into it.
Most of your designs are polka dots. Why polka dots?
Because this is my first season, my first debut in KL Fashion Week. So I want to impress people with more loud kind of prints. And also because polka dot in Chinese, it means complete, like perfect. So that's why I want to use it. And because polka dot is like the signature print from Japanese, I want to blend. I like Japanese style also, so I want to blend into Euro kind of cutting.
So is this going to be your signature or signature print, or is this going to be a one-off thing?
One-off thing, yeah.
And your next season would be?
Prints also, but we'll tell you later.
Okay. How did you develop your quirky personal style? You know, did you get this inspiration since young, or was it a conscious choice of just your personality?
I think it's just my personality. But in high school time, I still haven't developed my own
your
dressing.
Quirkiness.
Yeah.
So you went quirky back then. And how did you dress up last time? Were you fashionable
dress,
as well?
Okay. High heels. And long hair, like very girlish. But I'm not girlish in my attitude, of course.
But how did you pick up being quirky right now?
I think it's just that I found out that I'm not very comfortable with bandage dress. I don't like to wear dress,
Is
actually.
It too princessy?
Yeah. And then I started to dress up in my own wear. And I don't care anymore. I don't care what people say.
So what was it like? You know, you've been, you did photo shoots for Muse, Gap, Mingping, Converse, APAC. You know, what was it like working with big brands like that?
It feels so flattering. It's a great experience for me lah, because I think I can get more exposure and more experience in photo shoot, and I know how it works in big brands.
Did you just started doing photo shoot recently, or did you start it like a few years ago?
I think I started a few years ago. When I'm still just a girl trying to do photo shoot.
What about now?
Now is photo shoot for online boutiques and also sometimes collaboration like Gap, like teaching people how to style Gap clothes.
So what is it like being a stylist, you know? Who are some of your clients?
Stylist? I did for fashion magazine also, and also I did for commercial billboard. Some of them is local magazine, Chinese magazine, and also billboard for Slimming Center.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. So what do you have in works right now?
I'm still a blogger. I blog about my own style and also fashion events. I also now doing part-time stylist. also now doing, in a way, doing my own next season collection now.
So what are you working on for your next season?
I'm now in the stage of researching and doing my spring summer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it will be launched in around December.
Do you want to give us a sneak peek on what you're going to...
Sneak peeks, maybe fruits? Yeah, fruits prints.
Is it more to dresses or maybe just tops and pants? What do you have?
More to dress and shirts.
What about shoes?
Shoes, not yet.
So what's your personal style like? You know, do you design clothes for you yourself that you would wear?
I design clothes for what I would wear, but I do not limit myself what I would wear. Actually, I wear anything that I like because I think that it's so fun to dress yourself in every different style. So sometimes I will still dress up myself in bandage dress.
I see you like bandage dresses a lot.
Last time. But now I still like la, but because I'm not curvy enough, so I'm not daring to wear now.
So where do you get your inspirations from?
Everywhere. Whenever I in the shower room, whenever I dream, I get my inspiration as well.
You have so many hats and at once, you know, from a blogger to a designer to a stylist. I mean, which do you focus on? You know, how do you juggle them all? You know, which is your priority?
My priority, of course, is my own line now, my own brand. Because all this while, I wanted to be a fashion designer. But because I have not enough experience, so I try to involve myself in doing styling, blogging.
So what are you planning to do? Because you say that you do not have much experience, you know. What are your goals, you know? What do you plan to do in order to gain more experience to pursue your dreams?
In order to gain more experience, I think I need to do everything myself. Like, I need to focus in just one thing. And I get more experience by doing it one by one myself.
Do you have a mentor?
Yeah, of course. My lecturer from college.
Do you plan to maybe be mentored by one of our local designers?
I actually worked under a fashion designer before.
Who is that?
Galo Bai Tian.
Mm-hmm.
And also a company, a batik company.
So what have you learned from there?
I learned how does the whole thing work, like from the very beginning of the design stage to the end of the fashion show to consumer. So I actually learned quite a lot from them.
That's good.
So I think after my job from them, I started my own brand. I think it's time for myself to start up my own.
So before we go to starting up business, you know, you've been featured at the recent KL Fashion Week Ready to Wear 2014. I mean, what has changed? Are there any, you know, collaborations since then? What has the response been so far?
I think the response is quite good because I have been published in a lot of magazine and also social media. But I did some collaboration during my KL Fashion Show with Central Hair Salon. They sponsored me my pink color hair wig, and also I have collaboration with the shoes from Street Thing. I get New Balance shoes from them.
Okay, so what are your are there any upcoming international ventures?
Looking at maybe Korea and Thailand, yeah, because they are more fun.
What about local designers in Malaysia? Do you plan to collaborate any one of them?
Maybe I would like to collaborate with Zhou Chia because he have all the black stuff and I have all the color stuff. So maybe if we collaborate, then we don't know what if it happens.
Have you approached Zhou before?
No, not yet.
Are you planning to?
I'm not that big yet.
Are you planning to?
Not yet.
Well,
let me stable down my brand first.
So if Joe is listening right now, you know, pretty much sure, I hope you can be in touch with him. So what are your future plans?
Future plans? I want to have my own brands all around the world.
Where can we buy your designs?
It's still in online basis because I haven't produced it yet.
Do you have a website?
Not yet.
So how
it's
do we buy?
In the construct. Just email me at kittykitty0905@gmail.com.
Coming
Coming up next, we go over the fashion headlines with Lee Chui Lin, where Kate Moss takes center stage with her directorial debut and exclusive for Vogue's September issue. But before that, here's Santi Girl's Disparate Youth, played during Honor's Fall 2013 runway show at New York Fashion Week. This is Style File, BFM 89.9. This is Style File on BFM 89.9, bringing fashion to you over the airwaves. I'm Maya Tan. Now it's time for Style Scoop, where we go through what made headlines in the fashion scene this week. Lee Chui Lin joins me on this one as we talk about Kate Moss taking center stage in the fashion headlines with her exclusive directorial debut for Vogue September issue. Kate Moss is in the news this week, major. She's turned film director exclusively for Vogue September issue. So this is her first foray into filmmaking. She styles and shoots Lara Stone, bonding with beautiful British lupines. Wolves, I suppose? Oh, they look like huskies.
I think they're the same dogs that they use in Game of Thrones.
Nice.
I suspect.
So yes, she's, you know, frolicking with these beautiful British lupines on the shoot, which was photographed by Mario Sorrenti. Did you have a look at the video?
I did, and I'm very fond of the song, which is, you know, her husband Jamie Hintz's band, The Kills.
Yes, The Kills.
Yeah, and so that kind of helped it. I don't know, did you like it?
I felt it was a little bit of a collegiate effort. I think, well, it's her first effort, so
I thought it was a very model video, in the sense that, you know, this is the video of somebody who's been surrounded by creative people for a lot of her life, but hasn't necessarily been involved directly in the creation herself.
Yes.
So there are a number of good elements, but mostly it felt very, yeah, you know, collegiate is the word. It's the product of film school.
I think
school.
This is cool. Yeah.
Yeah, film school year one, you know.
Or even, you know, people in high school thinking, this is the kind of film I want to make.
Kind
you know,
of blurry,
yeah,
edgy.
Shot on high eight, you know.
Yeah. Having said that, Lara Stone, so beautiful.
So beautiful. And then in the middle of that video, you actually see some stills from the Mario Sorrenti shoot, and you're like, that is Vogue magazine.
See, therein lies the problem, right? Yeah. I think if it hadn't been interspersed with the products of the shoot, it wouldn't have been so jarring.
It would have been stronger. Yeah,
yeah,
it
because
was jarring.
You see the images and you're like, yes, that is more what I want to see.
And you're like, oh, I see. So this is where it's going. This is the end product and this is just the teaser, right? So yeah, I don't know about the blurred images. I don't know about the repeats.
Yeah,
there was this repeat shot of her with her cleavage and, you know, welcoming the dog. And
But did it make you excited to see the spread?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Which is probably
so then
what
it works.
Yeah, exactly.
I do want to see the spread. And I suspect that this will not be the only video that Kate Moss will be involved in. Everyone moves on to the peripheral skill sets, right?
Either that
Helena
or they start
Christensen becomes a photographer.
Either that or they start making soaps and lotions and, you know, telling you can moisturize like Kate Moss.
Yes. And also in the news, Kate Moss has been made into a lot of wonderful things during her 25 years in the fashion spotlight. I think there's a wax figure of her somewhere, gold statues, Warhol-esque paintings. But perhaps one of the weirdest would be this one. She has collaborated with a sculptor and a restaurateur to create a champagne coupe molded from her left breast.
Yeah, it's you know what? It's a beautiful looking glass.
It
so
is.
Well done, Kate Moss, for your genetics.
Yeah, nice boobies.
Very nice boobs.
Anything for publicity or pretty cool? What's your take?
Well, so I did a little bit of reading because I wanted to understand the difference between a coup and a flute.
Ah.
And so they went out of fashion with good reason. They went out of fashion because they don't help. They don't help the bubbly stay bubbly.
Right.
Pretty much. So they're more often used for cocktails and such and for sweeter champagnes. So I do wonder whether, you know, if you go to dine at the Ivy, because apparently you can't buy the glasses, right? You have to go to the restaurants and drink from them.
Right.
Whether or not you're actually getting a less awesome glass of champagne. But you'll be sipping out of a glass shaped like Kate Moss's boob.
And you'll be drinking quickly. So
you will, yes.
If you're in the Kate Moss set, you drink quickly. It doesn't matter.
True. It's a lovely looking glass for what it's worth.
It
and
is
I think it's
very chic.
Yeah, and it's a nice bit of promotion.
Mm-hmm. Yep, so if you want to try it out, if you're ever in London, it's 34 restaurant in London's Mayfair, where Kate Moss hosted her 40th birthday lunch back in January with the likes of Stella McCartney and John Galliano.
I want to know the conversation resort. That happened, you know, when they first approached her and said, hey, we want to make a champagne glass out of your left breast. Mm-hmm. I want to know that.
Yeah, it's actually a very good looking coupe, as you say, you know, intricate abstract design, reminiscent of Art Deco symmetry. And this is quoted in the words of the establishment. And when held at an angle, shows a beautiful curvy shape. And Moss's signature, of course, is on the base of it. But, you know, apparently Kate Moss is not the first to have her left breast molded into a coupe. Marie Antoinette also had a champagne coupe molded from her left breast.
Also a woman of controversy. So there you go.
And next, fashionistas can rejoice, because if you haven't received the memo, vacuum packing yourself into second skin stovepipes is officially over. According to style.com, we're turning our attention to the breakthrough indigo trend, and this is coming off the normcore trend that we saw earlier this year. Mom jeans have been gaining serious attention in the streets.
Okay, so just to get this straight, the difference between mom jeans and boyfriend jeans is where they sit, right? I mean, because they're more or less, they fit kind of, it's a relaxed fit
all
the way through. It's just that mom jeans are kind of higher cut.
They're very high-waisted, you know, they're the 1990s guest jeans. You know, you have them, you button them at your belly button. With the boyfriend jeans, I guess, because they are larger in the waist area, they tend to sit at your hips a little bit, and you cinch it in with a belt or something.
Looking at, you know, the skinnies, there was a time where everybody said that the skinnies weren't really, you know, for every body type, that there was only a certain body type that you can, I mean, there are still countless articles that say curvy women should wear bootleg jeans, for example, which isn't necessarily... Mm. True.
I mean, that gave birth to the muffin top.
Exactly. But I wonder whether, you know, skinny jeans now, they fit a large variety of bodies. And perhaps that's because they've been on trend for so long. And brands have kind of caught up to the idea that it's not just skinny women who would want to wear skinnies.
Yeah, and also, you know, women and men actually have found ways to make it work, you know, for themselves.
And I wonder whether mom jeans will kind of be the same. Because when I look through the slideshow on Style... They're all models. I mean, come on.
That is true.
It's all models or women who look like models. Mm-hmm. It's really, there's a certain sense of proportion there. They're all tall, they're all long-legged. And I think if you want to wear this style of jeans, there is that element to it. You really, really need to watch your body type and the proportions that will happen when you put them on.
Definitely. Style.com says, you know, you do need to have the right proportions to properly rock this look. But, you know, it's a refreshing change, you know, the looser silhouettes, a little bit more comfort. And you can experiment with it, I suppose, you know.
So would you buy vintage for this, or would you kind of seek out, you know, one of the newer...
I might go the boyfriend way, actually. I don't know, maybe dig out some jeans from my guest jeans days, the 1990s.
Because I know for me, when I was looking through this, I was thinking, this is not a trend that I would like to spend a lot of money on off the bat. You know, I'm not going to go buy a $200 pair of jeans just to kind of make this work.
Yeah,
I'd rather go I'd rather go
Levi's.
Flea market hunting, you know, check it out, maybe get a pair of jeans for $50, tailor it, try and, you know, make it do something for me first.
Definitely. If you want to check out some references, Style.com has a gallery. It girls, including Miley Cyrus, Chloe Savigny, and models like Daria Werbowy, Tilda Lindstrom, and Drake Burnett have embraced this navel-grazing moment in fashion. So you can check it out and see if it's your style. Elsewhere in the news, Anna Wintour and the rest of the fashion world have taken on the Ice Bucket Challenge in aid of the ALS Association in the US, battling Lou Gehrig's disease. Now, if you'd like to hop onto the bandwagon, some local personalities have taken to it, except there's no ALS Association in Malaysia. So it kind of seems more like a viral vanity project than anything else. But some personalities, like Edwin Sumun, have done it, and he's going to donate some money to cancer as well. So do you think you will hop onto the bandwagon, Lynn?
I'd rather just donate the money.
Exactly.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. I mean, it's been pointed out that a lot of these videos don't have a call to action, and I think that's very true. I mean, so you're watching somebody dump water on them, which is funny, I suppose, but where's the awareness? I mean, it's great for spreading awareness, but awareness of what? I was looking through the videos done by celebrities, and a number of models have just done them in bikinis, which, you know, makes a lot of sense if you're a model. But I don't know. It seems to be fun for fun's sake and not necessarily for the disease, which is a serious condition.
Right. So if you're going to hop onto the bandwagon, don't do this because it's fashionable. If you must, do it with the cause, donate to a good cause, and be responsibly fashionable. After the break, Claudia Lowe of TongueChic.com looks at Copenhagen Fashion Week and rejoices at a trend for the masses, exotic minimalism. On Stylefile, BFM 89.9. It's Maya Tan Abdullah here on Stylefile, and here's Claudia Lowe of TongueChic.com as she looks at Copenhagen Fashion Week and rejoices at a trend for the masses, exotic minimalism. Pare it down minimalism. According to reports, you know, it's gotten a little bit more than minimalism. This is on the back of the Copenhagen Fashion Week.
Yeah.
Apparently, it's been reported to be exotic minimalism. Beautiful simplicity as their DNA, not so much based around high heels and miniskirts. And this is what buying director Justin O'Shea of the Munich-based luxury fashion online store MyTheresa.com says.
Mm-hmm.
So can you give us a quick breakdown of the trend?
Well, essentially, it's kind of like flogging a dead horse here. we're still on minimalism, but I think the difference here is that it's starting to be called as, I don't know, there isn't really a term for it just yet, but it's the Scandinavian standard. It's pared down minimalism that's clean but at the same time disheveled in its own way. So it's not too polished. It's not like, you know, you're perfectly groomed. You still have a bit of, like, you know, like waves, and you have a clean face on, boxy shapes. Generally, it's monochromatic looks as well.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's down to the basics again. Mm-hmm. And roomy basics.
And this time around, there's a bit of chambray denim coming through.
Yeah,
apart from the usual op art prints.
There's a lot more, I think, texture as well coming into play. So there are layers coming into play here where it's not to say it's like, you know, a shirt and plazo pants and it's stark white and you've slicked it up with a pair of sandals and a slick back bun. It's more like the idea of wearing, let's say, a chambray shirt with chambray maxi pants,
mm-hmm.
with maybe a denim jacket tied over your, like, cinching it at the waist,
mm-hmm.
you know? So it's gotten a bit bigger, but at the same time, it's not as clean cut as the stark minimalism has been. I guess that trajectory has kind of just gotten a bit more disheveled.
Mm. And what are some of the favorites that you've seen on the runway?
On the runway?
Or, you know, on the street, even in terms of street looks, street style.
Well, then it would have been Copenhagen. It kind of came out of nowhere there.
So what are some of the ways in which we can put this look together? You know, because as you say, some of the silhouettes and the colours, they're not exactly new.
No.
And chances are we have one or two of these pieces in our wardrobes.
The easiest way to go about it would be to go for cinched classic staples that have a bit of flair and room to it as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about the perfect white shirts, the perfect Western shirts, perfect chambray shirts. We're talking also about playing around with length.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're wearing a shirt, it could be a kaftan more like. But I think the idea is just kind of moving away from print, from multi-textures and embellishment, and going into focusing more on shape. But I think the main difference here is your beauty look isn't as severe as the outfit that you're going for as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of gives you a bit of a beach vibe to it. And, like, you know, like you've kind of rolled out of bed, thrown everything on, and your wardrobe could have come from anywhere, you know?
Okay.
Yeah.
So boxy shapes, playing with lengths, and just giving a bit of that bohemian look, you know, as you said, tying the denim jacket around your waist. And in terms of hair and makeup, it's pared down, but not as harsh or severe as we usually see.
There is the danger of kind of drowning in this. So it's important to kind of always cinch at the waist,
mm-hmm.
perhaps to flare out. If you're going for, let's say, plazo pants or culottes or something, it'd be important for it to flare out so that it kind of accentuates your ankles as well.
Mm-hmm.
Heels are kind of a must here, but you're thinking mules rather than something slinky like a pair of sandals. So you're talking about thick lines and playing around with that.
Mm, okay. Do you think this is something for everyone?
I'm into it.
Yeah, I am too.
Yeah,
I
like it whenever, you know, trends just kind of give you a chance to build up your basics. Mm-hmm. You know, it's something that you can invest in because you know that a shirt isn't ever going to go out of style. A good pair of high-waisted trousers aren't either, because you know for a fact, okay, high-waisted maxi pants paired with a pair of heels underneath definitely are always going to make you look taller, mm-hmm. and lengthen your legs. And, you know, and because they work, they are staples that work, it's just a matter of kind of repackaging and representing it. So it's kind of okay to invest in this trend.
And that was this week's episode of Style File. If you've missed any part of the show, catch up with the podcast on www.bfm.my, and don't forget to like our page on Facebook. Before we go, we leave you with She's on Fire by King Tuff, played during Marc Jacobs' Spring 2014 runway show in New York Fashion Week. This is Maya Tan on Style File, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.